bedrock of existence. Existence itself will be a lie, except as it affords us the privilege of fraternizing with the spirit of the divine. What defines our existence is the quality of relationship that we have with God. Everything that is encapsulated within the boundaries of our ordination and everything that we sustain the capacity to give expression to is born out of our intimacy with God. So we saw that the very value of our life is defined by the quality of our relationship with God. We said there's a level where you live in life that you'll be a slave and a servant. And the position of a servant is not a title. It's a quality of relationship with God. There's a kind of relationship you have with God that your value in life only operates at the level of a servant, no matter how you try. Therefore, if you want to gain promotion in life, you are not promoted by what you acquire. You are promoted by the depth in which you travel with God. And we said as you travel with God further, you come to a level where you become a disciple. And God himself begins to teach you about the ways, the principles and the laws that governs the kingdom. When you begin to gain understanding of the laws that govern the kingdom and the spirit realm, you begin to gain mastery in life. You begin to rule the forces of nature. So we saw in Galatians chapter 4 verse 1, the Bible said the heir, so long as he's a child, differeth nothing from a servant, even though he be Lord of all. This guy is the heir of the kingdom. Everything the Father has belongs to him. But the problem is that he's a child. He lacks understanding of spiritual realities. The word child is the word nepios. He doesn't have understanding. And so long as he fails to have understanding, the Bible said he's a servant, even though he be Lord of all. And said that's the condition of many people. Gifted, vested with sufficient spiritual investment, but they are servants because they lack understanding. So in order to bring you to a place of authority, what God does is that he enrolls you into the college of discipleship and he begins to teach you the laws that govern the spirit realm. When you begin to understand the laws that govern the spirit realm, what happens to you is that naturally you are reconfigured to align with that kingdom. And when you begin to align with that kingdom, you become a friend of God. And we said the friend of God does not only have understanding of the laws of the realm. A friend of God is granted access to the secrets and the mysteries of the kingdom. The kingdom is operated by mysteries. And Paul will tell us that these mysteries were locked into creation from the foundation of the world for our glory. That means for you to walk at the scale of glory, you must have access to mysteries. You may know laws, you may be obedient, but glory will not be part of your operation. The operation and functionality of glory in the life of a man is the degree of mysteries that are at his disposal. In Deuteronomy 29 verse 29, it said the secret things belong unto God, but the things that are revealed, they belong to us and to our children forever. He said it's the glory of the Lord to conceal a matter, but the honor of kings is to search them out. So when a man gains access to mystery, what happens is that he's enthroned in the spirit realm. There could be two pastors, both of them fasting and praying, both of them giving, but the quality of their ministry is a function of the mystery that they trade with. Two believers in the same context, the quality of their lives and expression is the mystery that they have access to, because he said the mysteries were locked into creation for our glory. So the key for unlocking glory is access to mysteries. This is why we don't preach mysteries to sinners. We show them the basics of the word of God. But when we come among them that are mature, among them that are perfect, we want to unlock glory, so we talk mysteries. We don't talk mysteries on the streets of evangelism. But when we come, Paul says we speak mysteries among them that are perfect. Mystery is the embodiment of glory. The key for glory is locked up and shrouded in mystery. So if a believer have not come to a place of friendship with God,
there will be no glory in his life. And when there is no glory in your life, the devil can make a mess of you. You don't know why people do a lot of things, work very hard, yet they can't move forward. I was fasting and praying until God began to extend laws to me. Strange laws that I could not understand. At a point, I had to go to a friend and to serve my own friend and brother for 1 year, 8 months, like a servant, because God says to do it. And when that period was completed, both of us in the same ministry, the same Father in the Lord, ministers in the same ministry, but he says, serve him. I could not understand the rationale behind the instruction. A mystery was playing out. God needed to reorganize my soul structure to be able to conduct what he was bringing. Bible knowledge could not help me. Only mystery could unlock it. And when the period was over, the ancient one came to me and he said, I will begin to announce you. I didn't know what it meant. And in 14 days, my messages were in 17 nations, including Pakistan and Australia. What was I preaching? I was not saying anything different, but I had engaged the mystery. And the moment I engaged the mystery, heaven aligned with the earth realm. Oneness was achieved in the spirit. It's called the Potter of Mahanaim. Possibilities that were locked up in Eden began to find expression within my context because a mystery was activated. You can be singing for 10 years. What you need is a mystery. If a mystery begins to work in your life, 100 people will sing, but there will be something about your song. The people cannot understand. 30 people will be selling pure water, but there will be something about your water because a spirit will alight upon it. He said, you are no longer servants, you have become friends. Therefore, you have access to the mysteries of the kingdom. That is where authority is conferred to a man. The doorway of mystery. A lot don't journey with God to that point. So they don't understand why they are doing the same thing the man who is prospering is doing, but their results are different. The difference is mystery. He said, if you become the friend of God, then mystery becomes a perpetual reality within the confines of your habitation. But how many will travel with God that far? The quality of your life is defined by your relationship with God. It doesn't matter where you are standing. This is why the patriarchs of old, they had so much understanding. Sometimes I wondered how God taught them. These men had no Bible to read. They had no scriptures to look upon. How were they so wise in the things of the Spirit? Elijah will come into the palace with all the beauties, the glories. He was not moved. He will say to the king, before God whom I stand. Because he knows that so long as he stands in the presence, every other thing will answer to him. He said, there will be no rain or dew except by my word. Who talks like that? A man of mysteries. He could shut the heavens, and even the man who is on the throne could not affect him. How would Moses walk to Herod, to Pharaoh, and for many weeks bombarding him with plagues, and the king did not think of killing him? He was walking by a mystery. The same place where people are swallowed up by lions, a man of mystery comes there and he sleeps comfortably till morning. What is happening? Mysteries. They casted them into the fire. The people that threw them were burned, but these guys were praising and worshiping in the midst of fire. What has happened? You will not understand that fire is not designed to burn. Fire is designed to purify. So when they entered into fire on earth, they were relating with fire as an economy of heaven. Because in heaven, in the midst of the coals of fire, are the burning stones that purify. So when they entered into the fire was burning men of earth, but men of heaven were being purified by mystery. They interacted with things on earth as if they lived in heaven. Jesus was walking in Nazareth. He said, the Son of Man, which is in heaven. No wonder he saw the blind, he said, open. He saw the deaf, he said, open. Because he was talking from heaven. Others were walking with him on earth, but he was walking on earth from heaven by mystery. What did he know? He was a friend. This is why you can come to your business and say, begin to prosper. Not because you connected with the governor. You spoke by a spirit. And all of a sudden, everybody begins to come to you. Mysteries. Fraternity with spirit is the key for glory. Elohim Adonai. When you see men doing mighty things, don't envy them. Find out what they know. Because God is not a respecter of persons, but God is a respecter of laws and mysteries. God respects laws. Himself is bound by his laws. There are things you do that God cannot hold his peace. It will be injustice for him to keep quiet. These men know how to touch the laws that govern the spirit realm. They walked in fraternity until they entered into depths in Zion that God could not resist them. Is a broken heart and a contrite spirit. I cannot despise mysteries. When you struggle, it's because your understanding is unfruitful. Relationship. And we say when you become a friend of God, a point comes when God gives you an inheritance. At that point, you have become a son. A lot of people bank on their potentials. I'm sorry to tell you that your potential may not take you anywhere until a spirit alights upon it. Your advantage is not in your potential. Your advantage is on the mountains of Zion. You could be an orator, but God will choose a stammerer. You could be a technocrat, God will choose a novice. Because he doesn't need your strength, he needs to maximize his own strength in your life. Your potential can only be an advantage when you compete by laws of nature. But when you want spiritual advantage, you need to connect with the spirit. Even Jesus knew better. I will show you in the next 10 minutes some of the credentials of Jesus. You will see Jesus with all of these credentials, yet he did nothing for 30 years. Because he knows how the realm works. You don't begin unless you have a relationship. This is why before God takes you forward, he will take you back to the past. We live from the dimensions of eternity into the future. We don't live from the future to eternity. Before God picks a man up, he takes him back to the cradle of the spirit realm. That's where your life is defined from. Every man God uses, he picks him from his circumstance, bring him into an encounter, and he shows him the blueprint of the divine. And from there, he launches him into the world. Jesus knew. You will see the potentials of Jesus. You will realize your own doesn't come near. But Jesus did nothing for 30 years. Relationship must first of all be consummated before the glory of God can be manifested in the life. Sons have understanding. Elohim Adonai. Elohim. When you study the scriptures, it will grant you wisdom. You may jump out and say you are handsome or you are beautiful. You will wait until you are 35 years old. All your friends will marry with children. Then it will dawn on you that marriage is not a function of beauty. It's a function of favor. You will think you graduated with a 2-1. You will see all your friends with third class have good jobs and driving big cars. Then you understand that your certificate is not an advantage. It's the spirit that is powering you. Elohim Adonai.
Elohim.
Elohim Adonai. I want to show you four credentials of Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible said Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. That means whatever we want to do, the first and the most accurate place to look at is the life of Jesus. But we see that Jesus had all of these potentials, but he waited until relationship was perfected and he was mandated by heaven before he moved. This is why a lot of people cannot serve. God tells them to serve a man, but they come there, they think they speak better English. They think they know the scriptures more. They don't understand that the man is not rising because he's intelligent. He's rising because he's spiritual. You don't rise because you are intelligent. You rise because you are spiritual. You will come, you will see your pastor. He talks for 2 hours. He quotes only 3 scriptures. And you say, no. You know, according to the laws of homiletics, there's a science and there's an act of sermonizing. You see, his comportment is not correct. His carriage is not correct. Even exegesis, the guy, he doesn't connect scriptures correctly. I can do better. Go and start your church. When you run it for 5 years, it will shut down and you will do SOS. Jesus was full of potential. Why did he wait for 30 years? I want to show you something. This thing will humble you to sit down and allow God teach you. Because if God doesn't teach us, we are in trouble. You will allow your zeal to cause you to run in the wrong direction. And you will waste your life. The Bible said in John chapter 1, from verse 1, it said, in the beginning was the Word. You see, not everybody had the stature to introduce Jesus. You see, if daddy wants to bring me up now, he can stand like this and laugh and say, come up. You know what? His stature. But if I want to introduce him, I may have to kneel down. Not everybody had the stature to introduce Jesus. Before John introduced Jesus, the book of John is one of the last epistles that was written in the New Testament. All the synoptic gospels were written before the book of John. The first synoptic gospel that was written is the gospel of Mark. The gospel of Matthew is a modification of the gospel of Mark. Then the gospel of Luke was written. Meanwhile, even the gospels were written after the Pauline epistles. The first book written in the New Testament is the book of 1 Thessalonians. Paul wrote close to 10 epistles before the gospels were written. Because these guys knew they were going to give a narrative about the life of the eternal one dwelling in a mortal vessel. They are not talking principles, they are talking life born out of the spirit. So they needed to be gathered to communicate his emphasis. And even among the synoptic gospel, the gospel of John was the last to be written. John needed to sit down and he brought balance to the things that were lacking in all the synoptic gospel. And John was writing from the position of intimacy. The gospel of Mark sustains an emphasis about the servanthood of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Matthew sustains an emphasis about the kingdom and the government of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Luke sustains an emphasis about the Son of God. But the gospel of John talks about life. The eternal life that dwells in a mortal vessel. So he's talking about a life force that is born in the spirit. You don't say such things because you were present. You say such things because heaven was open and you were granted access into reality. I can look at you and introduce you based on your work. I'll say this man is perfect. He came to church every day as the first person. So he's faithful. I can look at you and talk about your manifestation and say this man is a man that is an expert in healing the sick. I can look at you and talk about your nature as a human being. But if I want to talk about the depths of the life of God on your inside, God himself will have to reveal it. So when John was talking, he was talking from a deeper realm. So before he began, he said, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. He said, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. The life was the light of men. There were four major things that John itemized about this man who is a God man. I need to show you this before I begin to list to you what it means to enter into the reality of sonship. Because a lot of us think we are sons because we have potentials. You can come and speak Queen's English and you say, because of this potential. Potentials don't make you a son. There are well-defined protocols that makes a son. That's why I told us yesterday that a child is born, but a son is given. You can be a child and you will never be a son. Meanwhile, you'll be 40 years old, but you are still a child. For you to become a son, there are definite laws of the spirit that must become a reality on your inside. That which was from the beginning, this man was a custodian of beginnings. That's the potential of Jesus Christ. You may not understand what it means to be from the beginning. When we talk about the beginning, we are talking about authority. You know, in Genesis chapter 1 from verse 1, the Bible said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The first introduction of God in the beginning was a statement about his authority. They didn't take time to tell you where he came from. He didn't need introduction. Because he was in the beginning, he had all authority. If you come to this church and the first man you meet, you don't ask him, who are you?
He's the one that will ask you, who are you? So when we talk about the beginning, we are first of all talking about authority. So John was revealing to us that the absolute authority for creation was resident with this personality. In the beginning, the Elohim, the word Elohim means almighty. That means having the might that is the consummation and confinement of every other kind of might in the world. So if you see anybody with power, it came from that which was in the beginning. Any kind of power you see in this world came from what? That which was in the beginning. That means God is the custodian of all power. And because of that, he was the only one that created all things. So when John was telling us about Jesus being from the beginning, he was introducing you to a man for the first time that was the custodian of all power. So Jesus, while he was born on earth for 30 years, was a carrier of all power, but he did nothing. As a man who comes from the beginning, you have the power to reprogram. In Genesis chapter 1, when God came, he was not creating the world in Genesis chapter 1. The only time creation was captured in Genesis chapter 1 was in verse 1. Every other thing that happened from verse 2 to the last was recreation. The earth had already been created, but it was now void and darkness was upon the face of the deep. The only one that had the power to reprogram creation was the one that was from the beginning. No entity could do anything about it. So God did not create the world, because when he was creating the world, the angels were not there. Even after the angels were created and the world was destroyed, only God had the power to recreate the world. That means the Jesus that John was introducing to you, he could come to you, you will be a vagabond, and he will tell you, become a prophet. And instantly you become a prophet. Prophet, being a prophet was not part of your ordination, but that which was in the beginning had the power to reprogram. Because the earth was void, darkness was upon the face of the deep, but that which was from the beginning came and said, let there be light, and light appeared. So you could be poor, you could be in captivity. If that which from the beginning comes, he will say, begin to prosper. Prosperity was not in your habitation, but because he said it, even the laws of nature, the forces of creation will gravitate prosperity in your direction. That which was in the beginning. You could be crippled from birth. If that which was from the beginning comes, he will say, rise up and walk. What he does is that he reprograms creation. Such was the investment of power that he carried, but for 30 years he was quiet. That which was from the beginning. They came in John chapter 9 and they saw a man born blind. They said, who seen that this man was born blind? Is he his father or himself? Jesus said, nay. That means whatever it was that caused this man to be blind doesn't matter. The one who is standing is that which is from the beginning. So all he needed to do was to command his sight to come back. And regardless of what the cause is, the one talking is that which is from the beginning. Any man that have access to the beginning can regulate creation. The power of creation is locked into the beginning. Men who traveled here altered creation. They came to him and said, asking him questions about marriage. And he told them, in the beginning it was not so. So anything I say about marriage is correct. Because they came arguing. There was a woman. She married a man, the man died. The seven brothers all married the same woman and they died. At the end, whose wife will she be? And he said, in the beginning it was not so. What you know are the informations you gathered in time. Let me tell you things about eternity. He said, in heaven there is neither marriage, and neither are people giving in marriage. Why? Because that which is from the beginning. Jacob gathered his children and he cursed Reuben, because Reuben went to bed with one of his concubines. And Jacob had the power to do that because he was Reuben's father. But all of a sudden, many years later, Moses traveled into eternity and he saw the foundation of Israel. And when he came back, he said, let Reuben live and not die. That which is from the beginning. They could curse you and curse your lineage, curse your family. All you need to do is to what? Travel to the beginning. If you can isolate the handwriting of ordination concerning your family, you can come back to earth and say, let Reuben live and not die. That which is from the beginning. That was one of the credentials of Jesus. He had the power to change anything regardless of the consequence.
But he was walking on earth for 30 years. Because he knows what sonship is about. Sonship is not about the display of power. Sonship is about walking under the government of the Father. So I don't do what I can do. I do what I should do. The reason you see all kinds of lawlessness and rebellion on the street is because many are not sons. They have gifts, but they are not sons. A son doesn't do what he can do. He does what he should do because he's under government. That which is from the beginning. He said all things were made by him. So in case you don't know, even the land you are walking, he created it. Without him was not anything made that was made. When he called him creator, what he was trying to tell you, you know, you read the Bible sometimes in a hurry. You don't wait to find out what the man is saying. When he called him creator, he was not just using English language or Aramaic, as the case may be. When he called him creator, he means you can come to him the way you are. Even if there is a challenge and the solution was not created, because you met him, you have met the solution. You may lack something that is not in existence. All you need to do is to trace him. That means if you meet him, he said all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. That means even the one that is a challenge now that was not created, if you meet him, he is pregnant with the things that are not yet created. Your challenge may not have been created, and it may not be part of the charter of heaven. But if you meet him, he is pregnant with it. Because he made all things that were made, including the one that is non-existent. He carries it because he is existence himself. So you don't need something that is existing to answer your prayers. Even if your challenge is not in existence, when you meet him, he is existence. That was what John was saying when he introduced him. He is existence himself. Your answer, you know, you could be praying for money and you are hoping that your uncle that is in Lagos will do something. Even if you don't have any uncle in this life, if you meet him, in him is uncle. Your father may have died. Nobody to read to. In him is father. You don't have a job. You don't have a certificate. In him is certificate and job. If only you can interact with him, the things that are not existing will show up. Have you not seen people that have nobody? All of a sudden, somebody meets them and say, come, whatever you need, I will give to you. They become more than father to them. Because fatherhood is not by bloodline. The word father is the word fundus. It means foundation. The word father is the word pater. It means nourisher and sustainer. So God can create a foundation, a nourisher and a sustainer from a nobody all of a sudden. So you can be walking as a stranded man. All you need to do is to meet the creator. Your father can be created for you in one day. You may not be born from his loins. But while you came to church that day stranded, your father can show up in a moment. And God can give you 1,000 fathers. If you need a job, a father will appear there. If you need somebody to speak for you in the government, a father will appear there. If you need money, a father will appear there. Why? Because you met the creator. You met the creator. He said all things were made by him. Without him, that's the personality that John was introducing. Was nothing made that was made. 8 years ago when I was serving, that was the first time I entered Warri. And the day I was going to Warri, while we were passing through Agbor, we just ran into a robbery. I looked at myself, I said, I don't die. I've heard stories about Warri. I have seen it today. I had not even entered Agbor. Entered Warri. On the way, police were just chasing criminals. And they said they just robbed. I saw people coming out of the bush. I looked at myself, I said, I'm finished. What will happen to me? I entered Warri that day. They posted me to Fupri. When I went, they said, everywhere is already filled. I went back, they redeployed me to PTI. I went, they said, everywhere is filled. What kind of thing? They posted me to 5 places. Everywhere was filled. That day, I had to return to Asaba. While I was going to the park, I checked my pocket. I was left with 20 naira.
and it was 5 p.m. I knew that there was a challenge. I was just coming, a very young boy. I met a robbery, my heart is still beating. And then now I'm stranded on the street, I don't know anybody. There's a challenge. I took my hand in the pocket, I carried my phone. I wanted to call a friend. Anyhow, anything you can do, make sure you do it now. But let money enter my account. I don't know how you do it. But let money, as I carried my phone to dial my friend, battery low, phone went off. I stood at a Furun junction. I shook my head. I started trekking to the ATM and I began to speak in tongues. Taka taka, shata tata, barakato apatash. I was going to the ATM with my ATM card. There was nothing in my account, but I needed the Creator to rise. The friend I wanted to call, there's another one in heaven. Hope you know, when John traveled to heaven, they carried him around heaven on a tour. And when he finished, he wanted to kneel down. And the angel told him, no, I am one of your brethren. You have brothers in heaven. It's not the ones in your family that are your only brothers. Because you know the Creator. Paul said something in Ephesians chapter 3. He said, thanks be to God. We will give praise to him that is the father of the family that is on earth and in heaven. He said in Galatians chapter 1 verse 12, giving thanks to the Father that have made us meet to be partakers of his divine nature, having brought us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Your family is not only the ones you know. There are some in the spirit. And when I spoke in tongues, I entered the ATM. I inserted my card and I withdrew 5,000 and 5,000 came out. Because there is a Creator. My friend, the battery disappointed me, but there is somebody in heaven. I entered the car. I charged my phone with the power bank of the bus. It was when I reached Agbo again that somebody called me from Kaduna. He said, did you see the alert? I said, which alert? He said, I sent you money. So when I was in trouble, the Creator already was aware. He went ahead of me and troubled somebody in Kaduna. And the person sent money. I never called him. The Creator. So when we pray, we have assurance. When I'm praying, I don't see the cloud gathering, but I know that the gallops, the brooks will be filled with water. When I lift up my eyes, I don't see anything that looks like an advantage, but the Creator is there. This is the confidence that we have that makes us declare with boldness, because that which is from the beginning. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. So when John was bringing this introduction, he was telling you that all your needs were covered. The problem is that you are reading the Bible like a literature material. If you hear that all things were made by him, you will thank him because you know the question of your husband has already been answered. You will thank him because you know the question of lack of money has already been answered, because he said what? All things were made by him. My challenge is part of all things. That was the boisterous introduction this man was giving. He said in him was life. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. In Matthew chapter 10 verse 20, he said, when they call you to speak, don't bother about what you say. He said, at that same hour, he will fill your mouth with what to say. Because that life was the light of men. There's something that light does. He said, that light confounds darkness. It shines in the darkness. The darkness does not comprehend it. See, the light does not really cast away darkness. The darkness can still be there, but the darkness will lack understanding. This kind of light is not a light that chases darkness away. It's a light that tames darkness. So they can drop charm. People match it, their legs swell up. But you who know that light, when you match that charm, the charm is there. The charm is still potent. But when you match the charm, even the charm will become confused. The herbalist will become confused because the light shines in the darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. They say people will not go to school in your family. You didn't pray about it. But all you knew was that when you finish secondary school, you are going to the university. How it will happen, you don't know. But the light shines. The light shines in the darkness. See? Oh my God. I finished my university education. I told my dad not to pay my school fees in 200 level. How I will do it, I don't know, but I contacted truth.
I heard truth and something rose on my inside. And I finished. I enrolled for my master's. I finished. I enrolled for my PhD. I'm almost rounding up. My dad only asked me, how is it going? I say, very well. Because the light shines in the darkness. The darkness does not comprehend it. They say, if you go to the village too often, you will die. I went to the village. I stood in the compound. I say, hear me. I'm a general. This is not prayer. This is revelation. You know who you are. And you declare it audaciously. Without fear of contradiction. I'm not coming back tomorrow to apologize. I say, I am a general. The world will hear me. That time, I've not even started preaching. But the light had saturated me so much, I couldn't keep quiet. Did you not read about Abraham? 100 years old, no child. But the Bible said he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief. He was strong in faith, giving thanks to God. How do you call that type of a man? Is he not a fool? But he saw something. He saw something. Moses woke up all of a sudden and he left the courts of Pharaoh and he went to join the Israelites. And you say, are you okay? You are a prince. Why will you join slaves? He saw something. The Bible said he saw him that was invisible. Because the light shines in the darkness. When John was introducing Jesus, he was talking things that were deeper than you could articulate from that scripture. He was talking about the solution of humankind. He was talking about everything that made God who he was. He said the light shines in the darkness. The darkness comprehended it not. But Jesus, full of all of this potential, he gathered all that potential in one vessel, and he was under his father as a carpenter for 30 years. Everybody saw him as carpenter. Carpenter. They were introducing, Jesus the carpenter. They didn't know that that was the same Jesus the creator. They didn't know that that was the same Jesus the beginning. Something was happening on his inside. The Bible said he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. He needed to learn how to gather that power and coordinate it as a human being. You are the only person that you dreamt and you saw something happen, and the next thing you go and write on Facebook that I am Prophet Nathaniel. You don't understand the business of power. For 30 years, he carried the authority of a creator. For 30 years, he carried the authority of a one that was the beginning. For 30 years, he carried the life that was the light of all of humankind. He was with it. You will never hear anywhere that Jesus tried to brag that he, I do something now. He was meek like a lamb. He knew the game of power. That's his son. Unless the father says, go forward, he will never move. He doesn't move because he can move. He moves because he's commanded to move. And even when he doesn't want to move, he will move because the Father says to move. He said, this commandment have I learned of the Father, that I have the authority to lay down my life and to pick it up again. So he didn't die because they killed him. He died because the Father says to lay down his life. That is a son. You see, we want to handle power, but we don't know what power. We don't know the... See, it's like a radioactive isotope. If you are not protected from it, a single radiation can destroy you. We don't know what glory is. Jesus is teaching us how to tame it. And this creator, we walk to the Jordan River. And one of the people he created, this guy was not even the first. He was not the second. He was not the third. One of the people he created after many thousands of years. He now came and knelt down before that one. And the guy was discerning enough. He knew, no. You should be the one to baptize me. He said, suffer it to be so for now. That's his son talking. How many times did you prepare for concert? And you are the lead vocalist and they say, no, today let Sister Martha lead. And suddenly Sister Rejoice leaves church for 3 weeks. Because Sister Rejoice thinks it's about leading, about a good voice. When she sings, she touches her hair like this. And then she wears a slick gown and a high heel. All the high heel that she budgeted money to buy, now she will not manifest with it on the altar. So for her, it's not about worship.
For her, it was a show. And then by discernment, pastor said, no, let Sister Martha lead. And throughout that period, Sister Joy is singing and frowning. Praising the Lord, hallelujah. Somebody is singing a song of praise, but she's frowning. You begin to see the complexity of a fallen man. Everybody look and see what the Lord has done for me. Sister Joyce is closing her eye, but she's singing the song. Contradiction of the fall. That's what God wants to tame. Because if that dimension of the fallen nature is not dealt with, she can never manifest the glory. This was the prototype of life that Jesus revealed to us. You can be all powerful, but they can beat you. Even after he manifested, they were flogging him. They were making mockery and spitting at him. But according to the design of heaven, at that time he was supposed to be beaten. Did you not read about him? They said they carried him to a cliff. They wanted to throw him down, and he walked through them. The mob that were pushing him, hey, we no go agree, you must die. When they reached the edge of the cliff, he now suspended time. And all of them became vagabonds. They became dumbfounded. They thought they had power. We will kill him. When they brought him to the edge of the cliff, that which was from the beginning now stopped time. So all of them stood like this. And then he walked in between. When he left, they now say, where in day? He has gone. They brought soldiers to arrest him. And then he stood up. When he saw the soldiers, he now began to talk to their heart. When he finished talking, the soldiers went back. They say, where is he? They say, no man speak like that man. No man ever. So the reason they killed him was not because they killed him. He laid down his life. That's a song. But how did he become like this? There was something he did. The first thing that brings you into the reality of sonship is to grow. Tell somebody, grow. Sonship is not a gift. Sonship is not a gift. Sonship is a dimension. You grow into it. In Luke chapter 2 verse 40, he said the child Jesus grew. So all of us once upon a time were nepios. But the difference between you and Jesus is that he grew. The child Jesus, he grew and he worked strong in spirit. Many are not growing. That's why they know they are supposed to be prophet, but they never become. They know they are supposed to be government functionaries. They never become. If they must, then they must put their hand into diabolism because they don't grow. Jesus was patient for 30 years and all he was doing was he was growing. At the age of 12, he already knew so much. The Bible said he questioned the doctors of the law. They could not answer him. He answered them. So he asked questions. He was the one who answered the question. He knew that much at the age of 12. Why? He grew. How did he grow? He was the word. But the Bible said in Luke 4:16, he said he went into the synagogue as his custom was. He read. So the word of God was studying the word of God like food. And when Satan came to him, he told Satan why Satan could not defeat him. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I have eaten every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, so you can't tame me. The reason fornication comes and throws you down is because you have not eaten every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The reason lying comes and throws you down is because you have not eaten every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The reason you bow under pressure is because you have not eaten. The same thing happened to Jesus. First, he was a child. The heir, so long as he's a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. But something happened. He didn't remain a child. He grew. So he said, the prince of this world cometh to me and findeth nothing. He grew. He was no longer a child. So you want to become a son, quit priding yourself in all of those garbage and the righteousness of God and the right, and you are doing nothing. You are a joker. This is why the righteousness of God is a fornicator. This is why the righteousness of God is a liar. Because it was an economy. It is an economy in his spirit, but it's not a reality in his life. There's a difference between legal realities and experiential reality. What we bridge experiential reality with legal reality is growth. The righteousness in your spirit will become your reality when you grow. Jesus grew. So the prince of this world came to him and found nothing because he grew. Are you growing? In 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 2, the Bible said, desire as newborn babes. Desire. He didn't deny the fact that you are the child of God. He didn't deny the fact that you are the righteousness of God. He didn't deny the fact that you are the glory of God. But he said, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word of God and grow thereby. You feed on it until it becomes your reality. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 9 and 11, how then shall a young man keep his ways? He said, by taking heed unto thy word. They know the secret. That's how they were mighty. They didn't become mighty because they were sons of God, children of God. They became mighty because they know how to grow. And when you grow to a point, then you leave milk. You begin to feed on strong meat. He said in Hebrews chapter 5 verse 12, whoever feeds on milk is a babe and is unskilled in the word of righteousness. So righteousness becoming an experiential reality requires skills. I was telling them in UNN the other time, you are on your own for 7 months. The devil didn't do anything. Remember that he was talking about a moment a while ago. He said movements are captured in moments. That statement is deeper than you heard. The value of the chronos time is revealed in the kairos time. Everything you are doing now will not count until you maximize the moments. And then you are working with God for 7 months. And on the 7th month, when your window opens in heaven, a girl comes and says, you have forgotten me. Where were you? Hey, they don't even fear. Even men of God. How dare you? This is why we burn like blazing furnace. You can't come near. You can't try. The first thing you will hear, you will delete my number. That's why they see in the last day the Bible said the love of many will wax cold, not because they are weak, because iniquity will abound. The devil will want to choke you. So Jesus also is wise. His servants in the last day are not preachers. His servants in the last day are flames of fire. They are burning ones like the seraphims. When your window opens in heaven, then she shows up and says, you have forgotten me. You know they try you. Kairos moment. That's when you deal with strong meat. He says strong meat belongs to them who by reason of use. It doesn't belong to all the believers. It belongs to them who by reason of use have exercised their senses to discern between good and evil. What's the quality of your discernment? That's a man who has grown. One of the proof of growth is discernment. Strong meat belongs to them. All of us can be believers, but there are different levels in the spirit. What are you doing with the word of God? Nobody enters there by joke or by chance or by luck. Anybody you see doing a great thing, he has exercised himself with the word of God. You can't interact with the word until you see the glory. You can't become it. The Bible said he came unto his own. His own received him not, but some were wise. He said, as many as received, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. But it doesn't stop there. He said, but we that are doing mighty things, he said, we beheld him. We didn't only receive him, we beheld him as of the only begotten Son. So we began to see something deeper than the world. He said, we saw that he was full of grace and truth. We saw him as the only begotten of the Father. So they saw the glory. And every man that sees the glory, what happens to him? We all with unveiled faces, beholding as in a glass the image of the Lord, we are changed. The word is metamorpho. That's the same biological word, metamorphosis. You may come as a prostitute, you may come as a criminal, it doesn't matter. Are you interacting with the word? A point will come, metamorphosis will take place. So the harlot will become a prophetess. Why? He was interacting with the word. When you see the egg of the butterfly, it doesn't look like the butterfly at all. The egg is immobilized. But when metamorphosis is complete, then you see a beautiful object flying. You will not know that that egg had the potential to fly. What is needed is metamorphosis.
That egg can fly, but not as an egg, as a butterfly. But metamorphosis must take place. Metamorphosis in the spirit takes place by the word. When you interact with the word, something happens. All of a sudden, you that was begging for bread, you now become a producer of bread. People will wonder, what is this? The young man that was struggling with paying his school fees and was exercising his faith, now faith has result. Now we ask how much is it and we do transfer. Something has happened. Faith now has legs. Faith has hands. Faith has wings now. You can fly. Metamorphosis have taken place. But it begins by growing. And growing is by the word of God. In Proverbs chapter 4 verse 20, he said, my son, attend to my words. Give thy ears to my saying. Let them not depart from thy heart. Put them in the midst of thy heart. They are life to them that find them. It's not for everybody. It's for the one that finds it. It's life to him and flesh, health to all their flesh. Guard your heart with all diligence. Out of it are the issues of life. When you see believers who are dwarfed, don't look too far. They don't have the word of God in their spirit. But Paul said, let the word of God dwell in you richly. Let it dwell. The Bible said Jesus grew and he waxed strong in the spirit. The first law of sonship is the law of growth. And growth is by the word of God. There are no many things in this life that will make you grow. It's the word of God. You came from the spirit and you will depend on the substance of the spirit to grow. You are not a natural man. You are born a spiritual man. And you must feed on spiritual substance in order to grow. The word of God is that spiritual substance. How much of it do you have in your life? There is no man that ever became anything except by the word of God. The prophets of old were wise. They locked themselves in caves. They never came out. Anytime you see a prophet walking, ask him, what are you doing? He will say, the word of the Lord came to me. So they knew their strength was on their interaction with the word. Where are you going to? The word of the Lord came to me. Every time they spoke because the word of the Lord came to them. For that, some of them stayed in cave for many months. And a point came, they grew. Daniel was in Babylon. The king will have a dream and say, what is the interpretation? He will say, please be calm. There is a God that revealed secret. He was still growing. He was still growing. There's a God. So he will go back and stay with God, pray and talk to God, and then come back and explain. But a day came when he grew up. And then the king saw a handwriting on the wall. And they called Daniel. At that time, he doesn't need to go back to the God that revealed secret. He has become the manifestation of the secrets of God. He showed up and he looked at the hand. Where that hand came from is where he lives. So he doesn't need interpretation. That hand is the language of his lineage. So when he showed up, he said, God favored your father. He gave him a king, a kingdom that has boundary to the ends of the earth. But you decided to praise the God of iron, of wood, and of clay. He said, therefore is this hand come. Mene, mene. Teke, ufasi. He said, your kingdom, you have been weighed on the balances. Where are the balances? So the man was talking from heaven. Your character, your action, there's a weighing system in heaven where God weighs you. Did you not hear? He said, wait until the cup of the Amorite is filled. So even God cannot judge the Amorite until they are weighed on the balances. When their cup is filled, you don't need to fight. Even if you carry stone and throw like this, you will destroy the kingdom because they have been weighed on the balances. Let your enemy be fighting. Stay with God. Just stay. When they are weighed on the balances, you can show up and say, why are you fighting me? And he will fall down and die. He has been weighed. So a man of heaven showed up and he said, you have been weighed on the balances and you have been found wanting. Therefore, your kingdom will be divided among the Medes and the Persians. And that night, the king was destroyed and his kingdom was overthrown because a man came from heaven. Once upon a time, he needed to go back to the God that revealed secret. But now he has grown. A son is committed with the decisions and the authority of the kingdom. Abraham will encounter God.
and God was going to destroy Sodom, why do you need to come and tell Abraham? Because sons need to be aware on matters of legislation.
He was going to Sodom, but he had to pass through Mamre. And when God alighted, Abraham saw him. He knew that these ones are not men. These ones are coming from the family that I belong to in heaven. He said, sirs, come. He said, no, they are going. He said, come. Please come. How did he know? Where they alighted at the gate of Mamre, that's where the altar of Abraham is. So only spirits alight on altars. So when they landed there, he knew they are not men. These are spirits. In Genesis chapter 13 verse 18, the Bible says Abraham came to Mamre and he raised an altar before the Lord. So when God stood there with two angels, he knew that was God. And God finished. God will now tell Abraham, I'm going to destroy Sodom. And Abraham said, wait. A son can bargain matters of the kingdom because he has inheritance. Something happens in your family. They want to destroy your sister. You say, God, wait first. Wait first. Wait. 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 Let's see this matter. Are you joking? That's the Elohim you are talking to. That's the Adonai. What do you mean? Who are you? I'm a son. I'm a son. Because we are a chosen generation. A royal priesthood. God's own special people. Come forth to display his glory, his excellence, and his perfection. So Abraham said, wait. It's an error for the God of all creation to destroy both the righteous and the evil ones. How did he know that? He's a son. So the reason he was legislating was because he has mastery of the laws of the spirit. You can't destroy both the righteous and the evil ones. How can you do that? God now said, what would you have me do? In a decision that was concluded in the courts of heaven. So a man can stand on earth and change things that are concluded in heaven. Yes, if he's a son. I thought you concluded this matter. And you came with two angels as a witness because the iniquity of Sodom and Gomorrah have ascended to heaven. A son say, wait. What will you have me do? What if you find 50 righteous men? If I find 50 righteous men, I will not destroy Sodom. Eh? So God can conclude something on earth and you renegotiate it on earth. Yes! That's the authority of sonship. Concluded in heaven, but we change it on earth. That's why Jesus said, whatever you agree on earth is agreed in heaven. He was talking to sons, not to believers. What if you find 40 righteous people? I will not destroy the city. He bargained until 10. He felt that Lot have learned something. So no matter what, there will be 10 people. But fortunately, Lot was walking with him as a brother. He never grew in the spirit. So there were no 10 righteous people in Sodom. That's why Sodom was destroyed. He did. A legislator. God will come to Moses and say, I will wipe out Israel and start a new generation with you. And Moses say, far be it from you. Yeah? Far be it from you. How do you want it to be heard that you, the righteous God, deliver them from Egypt and destroy them in the wilderness? And the Bible says God repented. See, these are matters of privileges because they are born from intimacy. He said God repented. Do you know the bargain that Moses even bargained? He said, if you will not do this thing, remove my name from the book of life that you have written. Hey! Hey! So you are condemning yourself, and God could not afford not to have Moses in heaven. You know where the guy entered in heaven. He knows where he's standing in Zion. Moses knows that now I have a stake in heaven. Heaven cannot be complete unless I am there. He said, if you will not remove my name from the book of life. No man talks like that. Only sons talk like that. Remove my name from the book of life. And the Bible says God repented. No wonder, even after Moses died, God sent angels to come to contend for his body. That is a son. His body could not lie in desolation. He had gone somewhere. When a son dies, even his blood can talk in heaven. The Bible said the blood of Abel was crying to God from the ground. And Abel could summon the courts of heaven by his blood. He was an immortal entity because he has a stake with God. You don't know the authority of something. We can change things on earth on the strength of intimacy. But we must grow. We must grow. One of the greatest undoing of a man is to refuse to grow. Have you seen a child of 10 years old that looks like 8 months? It's a pathetic condition. Most of us, our spirit is lean because the word of God is not there. You want to cry now and tell the Lord, give me an appetite for the word. Those things you are praying for, you shouldn't pray for them. You should command them to happen. In Israel, they don't pray for their children to have jobs. They come and they look on their children. They say, I bless you with corn and with wine. It doesn't matter if there's inflation. I bless you with the dew of heaven. Anywhere that guy goes, he will prosper. But there are no sons. There are no sons. A woman can come and place her hand on her son and say, the name of God be laid upon you. The countenance of God be risen upon you. The grace of God be gracious. That God be gracious unto you and lift his face to shine upon you. And that child will go out and prosper. They know how to move the hand of God. He said, when Jacob was old, he gathered his sons. He said, gather around Israel. And I will tell you the things that will happen to you. He was not blessing them. He was shaping their destiny by authority. By authority. He said, the scepter shall not depart from Judah until Shiloh comes. Till today, Judah is a king in the spiritual. Because a man spoke on it. That's a son. The reason some of us, our children, will be frustrated is because we don't have stature in the spirit. My children cannot be vagabonds. I will make some prophets. I will make some apostles. I will make some governors. I will make some businessmen. And all of them will prosper. He says, seest thou a man that feareth the Lord, that delighted greatly in his commandment? His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. That's the son talking. Lord, give me an appetite for the word of God. Every time you open the Bible and you sleep, what you are doing is that you are practicing the art of the grave. The devil is swallowing up your destiny. Your destiny is locked up in the pages of scriptures. That's why the devil will fight you. You come to church, they are sharing the word of God. That's when you are on WhatsApp. You are digging your grave. You may not be aware. Tell the Lord, give me an appetite. That your business that is not prospering, you are the first prophet over that business. You can talk to your business and it move forward. You can talk to your children, they move forward. You can talk to your car, it move forward. But how much of the word of God do you have in your spirit? Ask the Lord for an appetite for the word. Jesus. Let me tell you something. Most of you are young people. What you call pleasure is not pleasure. You are eating your future and the future of your children. Because some of you, the reason your children will prosper is because of the word that will come out of your mouth. But you are wasting your years of investment in pleasure. The Bible said the man that liveth in pleasure is dead while he walketh. I told you yesterday, I'm not preaching the gospel today just because I love God. My mother prayed me to the microphone. You don't know that the destiny of many depends on you. Peter was fainting. Jesus came. He said, Simon, Simon, Satan desires to have you and to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith faileth not. When thou art recovered, strengthen thy brethren. The fall of Peter was not just about Peter. It was about all the apostles. You don't know the destinies that are tied to you. If you don't invest in yourself today, you will waste your tomorrow and the tomorrow of many thousands. Can you cry? God, give me an appetite for your word. Let me find my destiny. Let me find my place. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Listen. Your destiny is locked up in the degree of your growth. There are many things in your destiny already that will not manifest. Most of you governors should come and wait for you in the morning. But that dimension that they will come have not been manifested. Joshua Selman said something. He said there's a dimension of you, a version of you that president will come to.
but they've not seen it. Until you grow, they can't see it. They know they should come to Peter, but the president will not come to this version of Peter. There's a version of Peter that kings recognize, but you need to grow up. When that version appears, presidents will come to you. This same street, I pick bike on this street. There's a park somewhere down here. I don't know if it's Delta Line again. I pick bike to come broadcast from here to Ostaba 8 years ago. Today you bring me here in jeeps and you put a red carpet. It's not because about me. I have grown. There's a dimension of you that kings will come to. Today you put me in the best hotels. I passed through this Agbor 8 years ago. Without accommodation, I ran to Asapa to stay in Copper's Lodge. But I have grown. There's a dimension of you that the governor of Delta State will come looking for. But where is that dimension? It's still inside. You need to grow so that the kings can recognize it. The presidents can recognize it. You don't know who you are until you grow. Until you grow. Can you pray one more time before I release an anointing? In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Listen. There's an anointing here this morning for orchestrating and emergence of songs. There is something in God that comes upon a man and causes him to align with his government. Lift your hands toward heaven. That grace that makes a son out of a man. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will pour an oil on you this morning. So that rebellious ingredient inside that makes it difficult for you to align will be broken. Holy Spirit, precious Holy Spirit, right now I ask that you release an anointing upon us that we fast track and facilitate the process of growth. The Bible said the hand of God came upon Elijah. And he outran the chariot of Ahab unto Jezreel. The hand of God is going to descend on people now. Few of you may be slain as a sign, but it's beyond slaying now.
Yes, sir.
It's an infrastructure wired into your being. And so, Holy Spirit, from the left part of this hall to the right and to the gallery, I ask in the name of Jesus, right now, let the anointing begin to rest. Let the anointing begin to rest. Holy Ghost, touch. 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 Baratatatatash. Tetai, Zorabanatataya, Peratados, Tezete Fatias, Paradanas, I'm seeing something like a dew in the spirit. I'm seeing something like a dew in the spirit. Just play only the keyboard for me gently. There's a canopy of glory that is about to rest on few people now. Just focus on Jesus and be quiet. And let that dew saturate you. Your destiny is about to be shifted. Literally. Holy Spirit, float through us like a mighty rushing wind. And isolate the ones that your dew is coming upon. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Help those that God is touching.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That dew is descending stronger. It's descending stronger. Touch, Lord. A dew. Some of you will start crying now. You didn't plan it. Watch it. Help the sister. Watch it. You will just find yourself crying. It's a move of the Spirit in your soul. It's a move of the Spirit. It's a move of the Spirit. You will find yourself weeping helplessly. Holy Spirit. Touch, Holy Ghost. God is pouring oil on the young man. It's an anointing for healing. That oil is pouring on the young man's head now. Holy Ghost! It's an anointing for healing. It's an oil from heaven. Just help them so they are not injured. It's an anointing. It's an anointing. It's coming on another one. It's an anointing. The Lord is reaching out to the desires of your heart. That's the horn that will exalt like the horn of the unicorn. There's somebody at my right hand side. I'm seeing a garment of fire come upon you. This is a revivalist. It's a garment of fire. Holy Spirit, I stand as a witness in time. Let it rest.